Hello and welcome to Telling Stories. My name is James Trupany and this is a very special edition of this particular podcast. Recently I talked with Darren Wood, who is the former editor of Total Wrestling magazine, and as some of you may know, myself and Marcus and Tony and Dara from the Wrestling Rewind all worked for Total Wrestling at one point or another, and he very kindly allowed us to use our articles from that magazine on Telling Stories. He said he would be honoured. So I had to think very carefully about the first story I would use for Total Wrestling, but someone we love and someone we care about greatly retired last Saturday at Pro Wrestling Eve. It was her retirement party, and that was Chris Wolfe. Last year, for Total Wrestling magazine, I interviewed her and created two articles based upon that interview. So I'm going to read those two articles today for Telling Stories. I hope you enjoy, and I hope you go to Pro Wrestling Eve to watch that show and support them, because they supported Chris in her journey to the UK. I hope you go back to the archives on Stardom World and see her work, and I hope that you understand Chris Wolfe has given an awful lot to the wrestling industry in a very short time, and there are very few people who are beloved and who have worked so hard as Chris Wolfe. We love you, Chris. We hope you ride into the sunset and have a happy retirement with your human. In the meantime, here is our tribute to the great Chris Wolfe. Chris Wolfe has been set free onto an unsuspecting wrestling world and is currently on tour that has seen her wrestle everywhere you can think of in short notice. Chris Wolfe, as it proudly states on her Pro Wrestling Eve video entrance, was born in America but made in Japan. She's in fact the rarest of animals, a purebred Geijin Joshi. There was no WWE or seeing wrestling at local event, there was only world wandering stardom. "I was kind of in a transitional period," she said. "I'd given my 2 weeks notice from quitting my job as an English teacher in Japan. I was talking to anyone and everyone about what is my meaning of life. What am I doing with my energy? Teaching wasn't my passion, so what should I be doing?" A Japanese woman who was my fellow teacher said, "Hey, have you heard of Joshi Pro Wrestling?" And I was like, "What is that?" So I picked it up on YouTube and I saw these little girls flying through the air and beating the shit out of each other. And I was like, "Oh my God, can I do this?" With such a limited experience of what pro wrestling looked like, her touchstones were limited too. But given that Stardom had a full roster of legends and her size and speed, it was not difficult to figure out who she would gravitate towards. The wrestler that I always wanted to and still kind of do want to be like is Natsuki Teyo. She's so agile and so terrifying, she laughs. Teyo these days is a trainer and referee for Sea Lining. But when Chris started out, she was an active roster member for Stardom and helped head up the dojo, which was a fearsome reputation, which is justified. When I asked her how she found the process, she answered, "Incredibly intense. After graduating from the green girl practice to going up to the regular practice, I was training with everyone else. The vibe was very different. The green girl class was very supportive, like, yeah, you can do it. When you get up to the regular practice, there's an expectation. Why don't you get this? You don't understand? I'll do it again. Oh, you still don't understand? Then we're going to beat you up a little bit, and then you can try again. Oh, you still don't understand? I don't get why you can't do anything. Why are you worthless?" And it's very like, oh, the Joshi way of doing things has been around since the late 60s, and while the different offices take a different approach, the tradition of hard work and sacrifice is never away from a Joshi's mindset. It took a lot of strength, you know, the lack of language and the understanding of what was going on, the feeling known that you're not good enough, and wondering if you'll ever be good enough. But it's just that kind of how the Japanese work. It's like they never expect you to be good enough, she laughs. It's very difficult psychologically. She did, in fact, prove she was good enough, and her run in Stardom had some wonderful moments. She says, "The formation of Odeo Tai was one of the first time I felt like I belonged somewhere in a real long time. I've been able to make friends here and there, but like within the company, I was always like kind of a foreigner, so I was joined in, like ACT came back, and then it kind of had a home. However, what must have been an incredibly sweet moment after all the hard work was when she won the Neo High Speed Championship. A division and title originally popularized by Natsuki Teyo, who brought the belt to Stardom when Neo closed its doors. When I won the High Speed Championship, that was kind of a surreal moment for me because I never felt I could achieve anything or belonged. I was always kind of questioning, what am I doing here?" She laughs at the memory, but it's clear where her wrestling spiritual home lies and how much they accepted her. However, a family within a family would become Odeo Tai, and that has become incredibly popular among Stardom's now international fan base. I asked her what the appeal of the group was to fans. "It's a pretty late group if you think about it. I had a long time to develop. That history came from it after all the things that occurred after formation and continued being a home for all the foreigners, and then it got to the point that I'm the only foreigner and everyone else is Japanese. The complexity allowed fans to build a bond with key members like former leader Ak Yasukawa, but it's also a sense of rebellion. And then also, we don't give a fuck. We're going to do what we want. I think that is a key factor, do whatever it takes. The group has also become famous for its choreographed dance routines. It didn't really take that long to learn it, but I think we're all pretty practiced at moving, she laughs. Chris has now moved away from stardom and is starting to make a name for herself internationally. I asked her what the difference was, and the obvious attractions of permanent employment for one wrestling company float to the top. Oh my god, it is terrifying and exciting at the same time. With stardom, they tell me, get on the bus and this is where we're going. And that's it. I don't have to do so much. The indie scene is a lot of things. There are messages, conversations, things that might need scheduling, flights. There are all these little things I never thought about. That is not putting her off the experience, though. But at the same time, I get to meet new people and interact with new styles. It's like being a child again, and my mind has opened up to so many different possibilities that I'd never imagined. One of our first experiences outside of stardom was being part of Ring of Honor, as they started off their Women of Honor division, something that Chris found alien but took in her stride. At the time, it was like the biggest show I'd ever been a part of, and there were so many people to meet, I was just in awe and excited to be there. Excited, you see, is Chris Wolf's mantra. When I ask about Pro Wrestling Eve's Wrestle Queendom, the reason why she's in the UK, and one of the reasons I'm not calling in the middle of the night or at 5 in the morning, she's also very excited. I'm super excited about my match because there is a chance to win the championship challenge thing, so I can just like challenge people when they're sleeping in bed or whenever I feel like it. She talks through what I imagine to be Miss Chavis' grin, but she's typically most generous with her colleagues. I'm really super excited about Aja Kong versus Viper and Mako Satomura versus Kaylee Ray, because honestly I'm such a fan for all these women. I'm so jazzed to see the biggest names in the UK scene for women's wrestling, as well as two of the biggest legends in Japan facing off. She also loves Aja Kong, not just for her wrestling, but what she's achieved in the business and Japanese society. Just being a foreigner in a Japanese company, I felt alone, but I also know from my friends who are half Japanese, I understand it's so hard for them to be part of a society that doesn't want them. It's so painful, I'm so like in awe of her and so proud of her for how hard she's worked. When I ask about what is next in her career, she's characteristically general. Wrestle more in the UK, wrestle more in America, explore Europe, I don't know. Because in general, I really don't know what I'm doing with my life. I feel that kind of is cool because people can relate to that because who knows what the fuck they are doing. When she thinks about it, she sees that as part of her appeal. I kind of hope for the best and hope my energy amounts to something. I feel like I make some really good connections and meet some really cool people, and that makes me happy. She's also refreshingly non-committal when it comes to thinking long-term as well. I asked her if she had any long-term goals. No, not really. You know, I came across this and I really didn't know what I was doing in the first place. I know everyone else is like, have a goal, but when it comes to wrestling, I'm just pleased that I can do whatever I want and then people enjoy it. And that is so rare. So I'm pretty happy just to try things and see what happens. It's hard for me to see beyond this moment, and it always has been. I didn't think I'd get past 16. And then when I got there, I was like, oh, maybe I can make it to 21. And wait, I did. And then 28 came along and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to die. I want to keep living this life. And that is what I'm going to do. And to be honest, I can't argue with the logic. I've been with this magazine 18 months, and I've never talked to a wrestler like Chris Wolf. In the business of unique people, she flies under her own flag more than anyone else I've come across. 26 hours later, I sat and watched her wrestle Jetta, two masters of two very different styles, who have a thoroughly entertaining match that set up the rest of the Wrestle Queendom card beautifully. They did the right things at the right times, perfectly. She may leave long-term planning to others, but fans and promoters should make it a long-term investment to get her on their schedules. And that was the piece I wrote about Chris Wolf. I thoroughly enjoyed the experience. She's an incredible woman to listen to. She's an incredible woman to talk to. I hope I someday get to meet her again. But for now, thank you for everything you've done in pro wrestling. And thank you for everything you've done for the fans. Take care, and we'll see you soon. Bye. Telling Stories is part of the Troopany Show podcast network. You can find it at Troopany Show. You can find James Troopany at Sheriff Lone Star. Music by Sheriff Lone Star and the Deputies of Heartbreak, which you can find at Bandcamp/Sheriff Lone Star. You can also find us on Facebook, The Troopany Show, and Patreon, where you can keep The Troopany Show free forever for everyone. Thank you for listening to this show, which was produced and edited by James Troopany.